You know, I heard this of the Lord saying to me something this whole week. Let me read the verse here. Let's go to Revelation 3 verse 11. And it's getting hot up here on the stage. Revelation 3:11 on the screen. Listen to this. This is in the book of Revelation, and Jesus is saying a message to John, to the churches, and this was to one of the churches in the book of Revelation. And he says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast." Say with me, "Hold fast." Hold fast is the Greek word krateo, which means to seize with violent force. Hold fast to this thing. Grab it with violence. Hold fast to what you have, that no one... Go for me, just tell me how the King James does it. I just want to see how the King James looks. This is better. Hold fast to what you have, that no man, say with me, no man, may take your crown. Listen. The scripture is saying that which you have, which you have been given, seize it with violence and force, that no man can come and steal your crown, can come and steal your glory. Let's go to 1 Samuel 15, verse 27. Listen to this. This is towards the end of Saul's life. The Bible says, "And as Samuel turned around to go away," Prophet Samuel, the Bible says that Saul seized, grabbed the edge of his robe, and he tore it. Let's go to the next verse. "So Samuel said to him," and I'll get into the story now, we'll break it much more open. I just want to give you these verses. "So Samuel said to him, 'The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you.'" Are you guys with me? Saul was grabbing Samuel's garment, Samuel the prophet, and he tore it. And as Samuel turned away, he said, "As you tore my garment, so the Lord has torn the kingdom from you." Let's go to the next verse. Let's see what it says. "And also, the strength of Israel will not lie nor relent, for he is not a man that he should relent." Go with me to verse 25. "But Samuel said to Saul, 'I will not return with you.'" And we'll read the whole story now in context. "For you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel." Say with me, "a crown." Say it again, say crown. The Bible even goes further and it explains how God comes to Samuel. Go with me to verse 10. "Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying," next verse. God came to Samuel and he said about Saul, "I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me." God is saying, "I have regretted that I've made Saul as king." Which means that the crown from Saul was taken at this point. Are you guys with me? If you study Saul's life, the anointing, he was only anointed for 2 years and he ruled for 40 years. But he was anointed for only two. "I greatly regret." Let's go with me to 2 Samuel 1 verse. Let's see where it goes by verse 10. 2 Samuel 1 verse 10. This was the place where Saul was killed. The anointing was first removed from him, and here he was killed. So the Amalekite is speaking to David, saying, "So I stood over it, Saul, and I killed him because I was sure that he could not live after he had fallen." Are you guys with me? And I preached on this before. With this, what the Lord said to me, the enemy wants to come and convince you that after you have fallen, you cannot rise again. That once you have messed up or you have sinned and you have fallen, that the enemy said, "From this moment, you cannot rise again." That's what the enemy said to Saul. He said, "I was sure," said to David about Saul, "I was sure that Saul could not live after he had fallen. And I took the crown, so the crown that was on his head and the bracelet that was on his arm, and have brought them here to my Lord. The enemy came and took the crown of Saul. First, Saul lost his spiritual crown. Then he lost his physical crown. Are you guys with me? There's a crown. Listen to me. There's a crown in the realm of the spirit that as believers we are wearing. In fact, I know that script that a lot of churches will tell you there's five, but there's over 30 crowns in scripture. And I'll show you some just now. That as we live and as we do certain things, the Bible says that we are clothed and given a crown. A crown is given to those who rule and reign. Are you guys with me? When a crown is given to someone, it is given in a public place. They are anointed and appointed to a position where the enemy and everybody public can see it. The Bible says that King David says that he has crowned us with glory and honor. That in the spirit, listen, we always speak of the armor this and the armor that. In Ephesians 6, where the armor is in 6 verse 11, it says these words. It says how we have a helmet of salvation. That helmet of salvation has feathers that goes so high up in the sky. It goes about, in fact, they say to about 1 meter above your head of feathers that is different colors. That when a believer walks and in the spirit we have armor on, that we stand out. When those Roman soldiers would walk dressed in armor with a crown with the feathers on their head, it would cause them to stand out from amongst the others. It's a helmet of salvation, which means that as soon as you're saved, God places a crown on your head, makes you to stand out amongst the public, amongst the rest, and that people can look at your glory. Are you guys with me? Satan has a glory, God has a glory, and man has a glory. There's three glories the Bible speaks. You have a glory, God has a glory, and Satan has a glory. We are crowned with glory and honor. So go to Revelation 3 verse 11, where we were. So Jesus is saying to John, he says, listen, behold, I am coming quickly. Which means, as John, you don't have time. This thing is going to happen quickly. Hold fast, seize, and violently take a hold of, that nobody takes it away from you. That no man can take your crown. I have seen so many believers, they've lost the crown. When we say, if somebody has lost a crown, it's almost like the anointing has left them. Where once they were shining, they're not shining anymore. Are you guys with me? Once they were anointed and had authority, it's when the Bible speaks of Samson. At the end of his life, there's one verse that's very powerful and scary. One of the scariest scriptures for me. It says, it is as if Samson was never anointed. When the presence of God left him, he was as if he was never even anointed. The devil wants to remove believers' crowns. He wants to remove and take their authority to bring embarrassment and shame. Are you guys with me? But say with me, not so. Say these words, say, I receive every crown in scripture. Listen, let me read you, let me go before we go there. I wanna share with you, and I just wanna feel where the Holy Spirit is going, because tonight also we're gonna pray for fresh infilling for people to pray in other tongues. But listen. How did Saul lose his crown? Let me go to this. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 10. Let's start there. Let me read this to you. And as we're reading, I'm going to just explain. This is a place, and the Bible explains exactly why Saul lost the anointing, lost his crown. The Bible says, now the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, just flow with me, I greatly regret. God is saying, I regret. I have made a mistake that I've set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments and it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. And number one, God is saying, I have regretted that I made Saul king. I have regretted that I've set him in leadership with the people. Because number one, he became disobedient. Are you with me? So he lost his crown because of disobedience. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told to Samuel saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself. And he has gone around, passed by the people, and gone down to Gilgal. Listen. Saul built a monument in respect to himself, which means that he fell into pride. And he began to get a big head. When the anointing leaves you, it's because a lot of times a person falls in pride. Listen, go to 14. Let's go on. Oh, we are. That's 13. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Now listen to this. And just stop there for me. Samuel the prophet comes to Saul. As he's coming to Saul, he's not even saying hello. Are you guys with me? Saul says to him these words, blessed are you of the Lord. I have fulfilled, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Which means he's lying. God gave him a mission to go and take out the enemy, everything. And what Saul did, he spared some of the enemy. Are you guys with me? Spared some of their goods, took their stuff. Where the commander was given to him to kill every single one of the Amalekites. And it was the one that he didn't kill that eventually took his own life. Then Samuel went to Saul. So what he did is Saul comes to Samuel. And he says, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Which means he begins to act immediately spiritual and self-righteous. Verse 14. But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? He said, listen. Again, Saul was supposed to kill everything. But he kept some. He even took some of the stuff. Are you guys with me? He took some of the spoils for himself. And it was one of these things. Some of these things that he took was oxen and sheep. So Samuel said, listen, I hear the bleating of sheep and the lowing of oxen in my ear. Meaning that what you're saying, I'm hearing something different. And when I was studying this message, I heard this with the Lord saying to me that in the church, believers, as precious as what they are not killing the Amalekites as they should. And there's the sound of the bleating of sheep, which speaks of flesh that is coming up. That is why the enemy cannot, that's why many cannot have victory. Are you guys with me? Let's go to the next verse. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God. He's lying. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. Listen, God's command to Saul was destroy everything. Saul, let's take it in our time right now. I want you to cut your flesh in every area. I want you to die and do away with everything. When God anoints believers, listen, we take salvation so lightly. And what happens is we get saved, but we still don't really separate ourselves from the world. I am not saying we cannot influence. When God anoints you, He calls you to Himself. He separates you unto Himself to be used by Him. And what is happening is that many times we don't, and we kind of like still mix with that stuff, and it's the flesh, Amalekites that's coming up. The very thing that I don't deal with will deal with me. The very thing that I don't kill will kill me. And Saul began to lie. Immediately playing a hypocrite, lying. Having a mask on, saying, oh, no, we took the best of the sheep and we're going to give it to the Lord your God. Say with me, your God. Listen to this. Listen to Saul's language. He says, we were going to sacrifice it to the Lord your God. Which means God was not Lord in his life. He's speaking of being in Saul's life, being Lord. Let's go to the next verse. Then Samuel said to Saul, be quiet. Shut up. In New Testament. And I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. You see, the reason why Samuel said to him, be quiet, was because Saul was interrupting him. In the prophetic, you can have sometimes people, when they talk to you, it's almost like they're an irritant. Because everything is fake. I'm not speaking of everyone. I'm speaking of, like, you can sometimes get those with religious masks. And when they talk to you, I had people coming to me, so many times. Oh, pastor, you are the most anointed pastor. Saying straight like that, yet in the church, standing in front of me. I'm like, flattery. The Bible says, when I flatter, I have murder in my heart. It's a religious fake thing. So Samuel said to him, shut up, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, speak on. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? Meaning Saul, when you were humble, when you were looking at yourself and you didn't think of yourself higher than what you ought, you didn't have pride or a big head or put up a monument, but when you were humble, when you were little in your own eyes, that was when I made you the top of the top. Are you guys with me? Listen, I was praying this afternoon. My one prayer was, I said, God, please don't let your voice depart from this church. Don't let the prophetic be removed. Where his voice is, that's where he is. And I'm very delicate when it comes to prophecy. I don't just, you know, some people will prophesy every night over everyone every Sunday night. I don't do that. Because otherwise it becomes cheap. It becomes cheap. And prophecy has been made cheap. When the voice of the Lord is present, it must be treated as precious. I see so many people, ministers also just, you know, prophesy over this one, prophesy over that one, and they give the same word, and they make it cheap. And that is why the body of Christ is no longer honoring the prophetic. And that is why God cannot move. And we've told you all these principles of, we preach so much on the prophetic. You know, and I see how crowns are being removed because we've made it cheap. When the prostitute came with the alabaster box and she broke the alabaster box on Jesus' feet, the Bible says it was costly oil, costly perfume, which means it costed us something. It was a whole year's of wages of prostitutes. Are you guys with me? So we know how she got the money. Yet the Bible says it was costly. It was precious. It was a whole year of salary. Give something to God or live a life where the anointing and the prophetic is still precious, costly, desirable. In fact, in the book of Proverbs, it says the desirable and costly oil, anointing, is in the midst of the wise. Meaning the anointing is desirable. It is costly. It is precious. When you have the anointing, when the anointing is placed on you, it is like a crown that comes on your head. Wherever you go, people might not see it, but the devil knows it. Listen, when the anointing, when David says, anoint my head with oil, it was symbolic of the sheep in the Old Testament when they would put oil on that the ticks would not stay on the sheep. But another description, when he said, anoint my head with oil, it speaks of crowning your head, that the glory of God may shine upon you. Are you guys with me? Listen. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? Meaning, Saul, you became a little bit prideful. And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Next verse. Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. See, he keeps, you know, a lot of times I'll talk to people when we work with people, counsel them or try to help them, they always justify always defend. But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord has sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. He was supposed to kill Agag. Are you guys with me? I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice the Lord your God in Gilgal. So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of the rams. For rebellion, say with you, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. He says, listen, anything in the church that is disobedience, stubbornness, even rebellion, you might as well be a witch sitting in the church. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, Saul, he also has rejected you from being king. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and I obeyed their voice. So they feared the people. I'm telling you, if I'm a leader and I'm standing in front and I fear people, I will do you such a disadvantage. If I'm a leader up here and I fear people, I will steal God's promises from you. Are you guys with me? Saul said, listen, I feared the people and I obeyed their voice, not the voice of God. When I fear somebody, their voice comes predominant in my life. When I fear the devil, his voice comes into my life. When I fear God, his voice is predominant in my life. I cannot fear people. Listen, as a minister, my team knows a lot of times it's so easy for people to fall into a trap of fearing man. Fearing people. Go with me to Galatians. I just want to get the actual translation. Give me the Message translation. Galatians 1 verse 10. Listen to this. Do you think, the Apostle Paul is saying, do you think I speak this strongly in order to manipulate crowds or curry favor with God or get popular applause? If my goal was popularity, I wouldn't bother being a Christian slave. Go with me to the NIV. If you have that NIV. And now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I was still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. He's saying, listen, I can either please people or I can please God. Are you guys with me? Sometimes even in service, I can feel maybe people wanted to go that way, but God is saying go this way. Question is, am I going to obey his voice or not? Okay? But there's a devil that says, that tries to control. And when we submit, the church cannot grow. I cannot be a servant of Christ. So as much as I love you, and this is not the sermon, I'm just saying this as we reading it. I don't want my crown to be taken. You should do everything in your power, not for the enemy to take your crown. Revelation says, hold fast to this crown. That any man might not take your crown, steal your crown. The devil is after the thing that makes you stand out, after your identity. If you are a son of God, he says to Jesus, if you are the son of God, do this and this and this. If you are the son, do this and this and this. If you are a child of God, would this and this happen? The devil comes with identity. Are you guys with me? So it goes on. So go with me back to where we were in Samuel. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed. He said, I feared the voice of the people and obeyed their voice. Next verse. Now therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me. Listen, that I may worship the Lord. Go to the next verse. What he was saying, he said, listen here. If you go read it in the context, he wanted to go show face in front of the people and act as if everything is still right. He said, listen, please pardon my sin so that, and come with me so that I can still go worship God in front of the people. He wanted to keep a mask on, but Samuel said to him, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king of Israel. Next verse. And as Samuel turned around to go away, Saul seized the edge of his robe and it tore. Next verse. So Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you, has removed your crown, and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor relent, for he is not a man that he should relent. He should repent. Next verse. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now. Listen to Saul. He said, I have sinned, but yet please come and honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me that I may worship the Lord your God. All he was focused on, the only thing Saul was concerned about, was his reputation. How he looked like in front of the people. Did they see that he messed up? Did the people see that he just was worried about his reputation? Next verse. So Samuel turned back after Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord. Then Samuel said, bring Agag, king of Amalekites, here to me. So Agag came to him cautiously. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. But Samuel said, as your sword has made women childless, so shall your mother be childless among women. And Samuel hacked him in pieces. That's the prophetic. Are you with me? It's not even just saying, he cut him in pieces. Samuel said, listen, this thing that God said to me, I must do. What Saul didn't do, I will do fiercely. Say with me, my crown. Listen, there are many crowns. Let me just give you some here that I wrote down here. There's over 30 crowns in scripture. The devil is after your crown. If he can remove your crown, he removes your dignity. He embarrasses people. Are you guys with me? Listen, number one, and I'm gonna put some scriptures up, some not, depending on the importance of it. If I can say it like this, Exodus 29 verse 6. If you guys can just flow quickly with me, I want to give you some types of crowns. You shall put the turban on his head and put the holy crown on the turban. This is of the high priest, the crown of high priest. Number one. And number two, there's a crown of kings. Are you guys with me? This is what Saul had. He had a crown. He was a king. Number three, there's a crown of queens. If you look in the book of Esther, put for me 1:11 or Esther 1 verse 11. I want to show you what crowns we are able to get in the spirit. To bring Queen Vashti before the king, wearing her royal crown, in order to show her beauty to the people and to the officials, for she was beautiful to behold. There's a royal crown, a crown of royalty, a crown of glory. Go for me to Psalm 4 verse 9. Oh, wait. Go 1 Peter 5 verse 2. 1 Peter 5 verse 2. Crown of glory. Listen to this. 1 Peter 5 verse 2. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers. How many e-group leaders do we have here? Just raise your hands for me. Listen, it says this is a way how the crown can come. Even if you're an e-group, if you're shepherding people, listen to this, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Next verse. Nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory. Say with the crown of glory that does not fade away. He said, listen here, if you shepherd the flock of God correctly, not domineeringly, not controllingly, not lorded over them, but lovingly, love them and shepherd, protect and feed them, you will receive a crown of glory. In heaven, there's rewards given to you as believers. Some will receive one crown, some will receive many crowns, some will receive mansions, some will receive small, some will receive nothing. Are you guys with me? The Bible says that everything around them will be burnt and they'll go into heaven just being saved. And I was praying this, so while I'm going off on this, I was praying this afternoon, I thought, God, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to act. I don't want to make a mistake next year or tomorrow that a crown can be removed from me, that the kingdom can be torn from me. And then I studied this life of Saul, humility, when you were little in your own eyes. Now, I'm not speaking of the anointing. Are you guys with me? When the conference of the anointing. That doesn't, when I say the little, it doesn't mean we must have a false humility. That is fake. God sees in the heart. Having confidence is not arrogance. When King David got in front of Goliath, he says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that shall curse the armies of God?" And he said to Saul, "How much will be given to the man that will kill Goliath?" And they said, "No, it'll be given this. He said, "Okay, I'll do it." He was arrogant, if I can say it like that. Are you guys with me? When you know your identity, when the anointing is on you, there won't be a false humility. People that don't have the anointing has a false humility because they're trying to be humble, but they're actually proudful. People that has the anointing, that are humble, they don't have to try to be humble. Are you guys with me? Say with your royalty. And I'm telling you, when we honor, you know, if I attack a man, a minister from this pulpit, and I attack this one and that one, God will begin to move from me towards them. I was speaking to somebody, this of the director of the church. I said, you know, how Elijah was in a cave. And he said, "God, I am the only one." And God said, "Listen, no. I have so many others still reserved. 7,000, eh? 7,000 reserved. Who has not bowed their knee to Baal. I have kept them in reserve." Meaning, Elijah, you are not irreplaceable. God can remove you quickly like this and put somebody else. Like it, he said, "Saul, I have taken the crown from you and I've given it to somebody that is better than you." When Saul, listen, you need to understand, when Saul was chosen as king, the Bible says that he was head and shoulders above everyone else. He looked like a king. Are you guys with me? He was leadership abilities. He was strong. He was good looking. The Bible says he had the most beautiful hair. Anyway, so he was strong. He was tall. He had the abilities of a king. Yet God never chose him. The people chose him. Are you guys with me? And when it came to David, Samuel came and looked at all his brothers. Started with the first one. I think it's Eliab. And saying, "Surely this is the king. This is the one that the Lord has anointed." And God would say to Samuel, "Listen, Samuel, let's not make the same mistake than what you did. For I am a God who looks on the heart. I do not look on the outside. I do not see as man sees," he says to Samuel. "For I look at the heart." And he said, "I have not anointed Eliab. I have rejected him." And he goes to the next brother. What you need to understand there, I'm not going to go to the scripture. When the Bible says that he had rejected Eliab, when God said, "Samuel, I had rejected Eliab, not this brother," it means that God had to look at him and then reject him. Meaning that Eliab was given an opportunity. And he never knew it. And God said, "I reject him." And then he would get to the next brother. And then Samuel would say, "Surely it is this one. It has to be this one." And then God says, "Not this one, move on to the next." Until right at the end, David would come out. The Bible calls him a ruddy person, red-haired, ruddy. Out on the fields, even his own father didn't even think of calling him when a prophet would come and anoint his sons. One of his sons is the king. That as all the sons, Samuel said, "But don't you have another son, Jesse?" "Oh yes, I have David in the fields." Come on. When people reject you, God has chosen you. David. When the anointing, the problem is, the difference here is David was anointed with a horn. Saul was anointed with a flask. A horn, a ram's horn, is the legitimacy of the prophetic anointing. David was anointed with a ram's horn. That's why he made it. Are you guys with me? Saul was anointed with a flask of oil. Oil in a flask, which speaks of fabricated, manufactured anointing. How many churches in today ordain people or raise people up, manufacturing to them. But they are not genuinely called of God. I want His anointing, His power to come back in the church. So David was anointed with a ram's horn. Saul was anointed with a flask. You'll see when we anoint people. I'm not speaking of just anointing. That's with a flask. When we ordain people, I know when in the next 2 years, we'll begin ordaining people. That's how I speak to Pastor Mark, and we'll get the right people to lay hands also on them. But if I ordain somebody, it'll be done properly and they'll have the anointing. It'll be delegated and given to them. There's no turning back then like, oh, I think I want to, go into the world or... No. Then that anointing is not real. Then you can leave the church. I'm speaking now of when we ordain people. God will place His hand. You know, fatherhood and sonship is the order of the church. That is how God gives an inheritance, impartation. Let me go on with the crowns. So crown of glory. Let me go quickly through. I'm going to give you every scripture. A crown of man. The Bible says the wife is the crown of the husband. Crown of the wise. Are you guys with me? Go to Proverbs 14 verse 24 quickly on the screen. Proverbs 14 verse 24. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. That says when you have money, you are wise. Are you guys with me? Crown of knowledge, crown of old men is their children's children. Crown of royalty, grace and favor. It's a royal crown. Crown, the devil had a crown of pride, which I'm not going to get into now. Jesus had a crown of thorns. The Apostle Paul says, put on for me 1 Corinthians 9 verse 26. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 26. Listen to this. This is how we get a certain crown. Therefore, Paul is saying, I run this not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. Sorry, go for 2 verses back. 25, I think it is verse 25. Yeah. And everyone who competes to the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we have an imperishable crown, a crown that cannot perish. Next verse, he says, I get this crown, I run this race, not with uncertainty. Say with me, uncertainty. Uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should not be disqualified. He said, I obtain this imperishable crown by disciplining my body, dying to my flesh, dying to myself, beating myself down. When my body wants to get out of order, wants the flesh, wants to do things that I shouldn't, I discipline it, Paul is saying, so that I might obtain a crown. Are you guys with me? Crown of soul winning. Say with me, soul winning. Philippians 4 verse 1. Let's put Philippians 4 verse 1. When I'm a soul winner, you receive a special crown in heaven. He says, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, brethren. He says, listen, he's speaking to the church. He said, you are my crown. People that win souls receive a crown. Are you guys with me? We call it the crown of soul winning. The crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy 4 verse 8. Put that on 2 Timothy 4 verse 8. The crown of righteousness. Paul is saying, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And that to me only, but also to those who loved his appearing. Let me just stop there. Listen. There's a crown of righteousness to those who love God's visitation. To those who are saying, I can't wait till I encountered him, until I love his appearing. The one translation will, one school will tell you it's speaking of a second coming, but another school will tell you that it's speaking of his appearing, his visitation. Those who love spending time in his presence. Those who said, like we preached this morning on prayer, you cannot stop praying. You're praying, getting the roadmap into his presence. And you would pray for an hour or 2 hours until you have a visitation of God. an appearance from heaven. Are you guys with me? This is the crown of righteousness that is given to those. There's a crown of life. I'm not going to get into it now. In the book of James, crown of life, and the book of Revelation. There's the crown of Christ, the crown of glory and honor, the crown of loving kindness. Go with me to Psalm 8, verse 5. The crown of glory and honor. Listen to this. For you have made him. Say it like this. Say it like this. Say, God has made me a little lower than the angels. Now, you know that when you're in ECC, we preach it correct, that it doesn't mean angels. The word angels is Elohim, which means God. So he's saying, I have made man a little lower than God, but above the angels. And you have crowned man with glory and honor. You have placed upon him a crown of glory and honor. There's a crown of loving kindness, crown of elders. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that the 24 elders would lay their crowns down, would get on their knees and lay their crowns before his feet. There's the crown of demons that I'll not get into, crown of Satan, crown of the Antichrist. Say with me, crowns. Over 50 crowns in scripture. Yet there's five that we will achieve when we go to heaven. Are you guys with me? The rest, 25 of those others, we can get in this life. I'm going to say it again. The five out of the 30 we receive as rewards going to heaven. Out of that 30, there's 25 that I just went through now that we can receive on this earth, where God can crown us and you can stand out being royalty, kings and priests unto our God. Are you guys with me? Say with me, a crown. Just close your eyes wherever you are. I want you to raise your hands slightly. I want you to raise your hands. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, fill this place. Place your crown upon my head. Remove every limitation. Fill my life with your power. I receive royalty, crowns in the Spirit. Father, I pray for every person with their hands raised. May your anointing rest upon them tonight. May you crown them with glory and with honor. May you crown us with wisdom. May you crown us with favor and grace, loving kindness. May you crown us with royalty, that we know when we leave this place out of your presence, that we are given a crown. As a king who wears a crown, a king does not beg, a king does not ask, a king decrees, commands, and speaks forth. Decrees, commands, and declare. A king does not beg. For where the word of a king is, there is power.